Welcome to the Bob and Sherry Show with Bob.
Has survived 19 cancellations, 2 assassination attempts, and a pretty good ribbon by those South Park guys.
And Sherry.
I'm seeing you as a Jessica Chastain type with a touch of Emma Stone, but with hats.
And now, broadcasting from the Palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
Oh, happy Thursday. Gateway to the weekend, everybody.
Yeah.
Kicked it off righteously here at this house. Yes, we did. So, got up this morning and fed the critters, which used to be Kevin's job. And he can still manage it some, but it's tricky for him because, you know, he's on his crutches and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So I got up right. And fed the critters and took a shower. And when I got out of the shower, I saw that my phone, which was sitting on the bathroom counter, I saw that my husband had texted me. That was unusual. What with him living in the house and in the next room. So I look at the text and it's a photo. And he said, I hope this is barf. And I just want to say, let me just speak for, not just for all women. I just want to speak for everyone. Is there any better way to start your day?
I can't think of one.
And the lines, I hope this is barf. So,
well, you know, you're alive, you know, you're alive. Yeah.
I'm drinking deeply from the goblet of life. So I thought to myself, girl, whatever that is, it's going to wait for you. Go ahead and get dressed. So I got dressed and headed out there, stopped in the laundry room on my way for a roll of paper towels and some cleaning spray. And it was barf. Charles Xavier, the Duke of Scarf and Barf, he eats his food really fast because he's real scared that somebody else might have some of it. I don't know if that reminds you of anything, Max, if that triggers any like old memories for you of a person cramming their face with something so they don't have to share. That's Charles Xavier. So he eats his food really fast and sometimes he throws it up. And Kevin drove the scooter through it, not realizing it was there because it was dark. Because the sun wasn't up yet. Mr. Sun, Mr. Golden Sun hadn't come up yet. And he couldn't see it. So that was a really invigorating start to the day. You know, some people, like, they get up really early and they go for a run. I can get my heart rate up without putting on my shoes in this house. Got that cleaned up. And then
I think if I was in your house, I think I would put on my shoes, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I got that cleaned up and then it was time to head out to get the trash cans to the street and climb the hill a couple of times. And here we are. So I'm super looking forward to today's show, especially because we have a really fun round of Bob and Sherry's Small Plates. The comedian Preacher Lawson, who's so funny, is who we're going to spotlight today. I've got a thrilling story for y'all about a platypus. I'm really, really glad to be here. And I'm not allowed to leave this seat until the show's over. And that is a gift and a blessing. Thank you.
Sherry, at least whatever happened, you had happened inside. Mojo woke me up at 2:30 to go out, and it was raining.
Oh, Lord.
And it was raining, which means I have to get the raincoat on me and him.
Mm. And the dog, yeah. And
when he goes out about that time, he kind of saunters like, you know, I like this quiet time. First of all, I like the time we're spending together. Do you know, we've never explored this little part of the property and down this hallway in front of this door before. Can we go down there and maybe kind of check out and see what's going on there?
So true.
Right.
Oh, Sam Nash used to do that to me. Sam would be like, hey, it's sleeting out. I have an idea. How about if I have to sniff every leaf on the ground before I can make boom booms? Yeah, I remember those days. I do.
I'm glad that he is telling me he wants to go out so I don't have to fool with cleaning anything up. But at the same time, it's still a bit of a disruption.
Well, because you're asleep in your bed and it's the middle of the night. And now you're outside in a raincoat.
Wide awake. Wide awake.
during the heaviest part of REM sleep. But go ahead, sir.
Let me read a text. So I got the barf. I mean, I got everything done. And I here I am. I made it to the show on time. And my phone lit up right before the show began. And I clicked on the text. And it was one of my girlfriends. And here's what she said. Just thinking about you. And I hope that today is a day where you take time to take care of yourself. love you, mean it. Right? That was my reaction too. Oh my God, what a good laugh that was. Okay, don't go anywhere. Straight ahead, Lamar right. has an unbelievably story. Like, listen, all you're going to think when you hear what Lamar has for you is, what are the odds? Plus, we've got a raccoon rescue and morons in the news. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
I wish I had seen this earlier, around Leap Day. That would have been great, because this is what this is about. But I just ran up on this, and this seems to be really amazing. There's a brother and sister in Brooklyn. They were both born on Leap Day 4 years apart.
Oh,
same
wow.
family, two kids, what? Both born on February the 29th, 4 years apart.
Seriously, awesome? What are the odds? Yeah, I mean, come on.
Their parents are Dane and Lindsay Demchak, and their son was born on February the 29th, 2016. And then his little sister, Scout, was born exactly 4 years later in 2020. And today, or not today, but in this year, the boy is turning 4, and his sister is having her first birthday. This is their very first joint birthday celebration. So everybody's making a really big deal about this. They're doing a combined birthday party. They got friends and family yeah. coming in from all over the place. They're going to have like 50 or 60 people come to their – they've got a coffee shop, City League Coffee Roasters, and they're all coming in to celebrate. And this will be the first time that they'll be able to celebrate their birthday together.
They'll have a good time with this one, but about 4 years from now, those two kids are going to hate each other because they have the same birthday. Because you know the parents are going to try to save money with one party.
Oh yeah. There's no doubt about that. You're never going to have your own birthday party. Maybe not. That may not be true. Every 4 years, you won't have your own birthday party, because here's what they do: they celebrate on separate days. One will do February the 28th, and the other one does March 1st. So they do separate, you know, that's what they've been doing for the last 4 years. And so that'll work out great. Because, you know, if you're only doing a joint one every 4 years, then it's not so bad.
I'm just fascinated by the extreme unlikelihood of having your two children both born on Leap Day exactly 4 years apart.
The mother said that's crazy. Neither child was due on Leap Day. Neither one of them was due, and but they also didn't have any kind of birth assistance. They didn't do any kind of drugs to it was completely
or C-section normal. Or anything.
They didn't do anything. Yeah. They weren't trying to make that. It just happened.
It just happened.
So that's they're going to be special. That's a big deal. I've never heard of it. I'm sure it's happened before.
I haven't either.
It probably happened, but I've never heard of it.
I'm fascinated by the way birthdays fall in some families. Like, even in my own, my grandmother, my father, and my brother. So my father, his mother, and his son, their birthdays are October 28th, 29th, and 30th. Like, one right after the next. Which always struck me as a kid, right? As a kid, I was like, that just seems like amazing and unlikely. And I know, Bob, in your life, like, you have birthday season where you have a whole cluster of birthdays in the late summer. And it's now my husband and I, our birthdays are, we are 11 days apart. He's 4 years older than I am. So, but our birthdays are January 11th and January 22nd, which is adorable. But in the rest of my family, like, my girls' birthdays don't have any relationship to each other. I'm just fascinated when you see that. And sometimes I actually know someone who, her daughter was born on her birthday. So they share a birthday. And that just seems unlikely. I mean, there's only 365 days in the year and all, but doesn't it seem unlikely that they would pile up like that? Much less two Leap Day babies exactly one leap year apart. Wow.
The worst thing is... Go ahead.
In our family, Alex's son, he was born a year ago, or coming up on a year. Well, it's been over a year ago. But all right, let me get this straight so I can say it right. Jared's son and Alex's son were both born on the same day, exactly 1 year apart. So they will be cousins that have the same birthday 1 year apart.
That's cool.
So they should, as long as we can keep the space pretty close together, they should have a pretty good time growing up together as cousins. Because they're only going to be 1 year apart and exactly the same birthday. But that was really weird for us to have the same exact day. So
that's cool. Yeah. All right, nobody move, because we got Morons in the News straight ahead. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Bob and Sherry.
You see, that's all I could come up with because I'm an idiot.
With Morons in the News.
You know, sometimes if you're in charge of a function, a fundraiser or something like that, you come up with kind of a really unique idea and you say, this is going to be fantastic. If you have one of those, pull back and ask one of your friends, does this sound like a good idea? Here's the headline. Oklahoma school fundraiser had students lick peanut butter from other kids' feet. A fundraising event at an Oklahoma public school is going viral after kids licked peanut butter off the feet of their fellow students. It happened at Deer Creek High School outside of Oklahoma City. The Oklahoma superintendent of schools is now vowing an investigation, calling the event filth. Filth.
The school released a statement. Kids that agreed to participate? Mine would never.
The school released a statement saying the students involved had signed up for the fundraiser. It brought in $152,000 for a coffee shop that employs people who are struggling with disorders, developmental disorders, which is that's a wonderful thing. The school district released a statement admitting to failing to, quote, uphold the dignity of our students. I admire the students.
They, a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. I got to tell you, Sherry, if Tony came up with an idea that would raise $152,000 for the Bob and Sherry show, not that I don't lick your feet anyway, but the peanut butter jar would be coming out.
And, oh, yeah.
And Heather would be taking the photos.
I'm going to hit the hip for the GIF because I know you a choosy mother, and I am not going to ask you to do generic peanut butter.
Thank you. Well, thank you for
thank
that.
You.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Lamar?
A naked woman went on a mini rampage in Los Angeles. She was attacking folks at Venice Beach. But another lady was equally ready to throw down with medieval weapons, no less. The incident was captured by witnesses in broad daylight. The woman, who was butt naked, went berserk on the boardwalk near the beach. And the naked woman squared up with another girl, but the girl that she squared up against had a spiked club with nails through it. So the woman in the black
like you
top
bring to
was,
the beach.
Was swinging the bat at the other girl, who retreated and defended herself. And then she went back and forth a bit. And then the other girl, the naked girl, got her own stick. Her stick didn't have any nails, but they're going back and forth. They struck each other. They struck each other and threw them at each other. And they finally got them separated. And it went on for about 6 minutes. And the police finally got there. But by that time, there was a whole melee going on. The police have no comment. The police won't even comment on it at this time because they can't find the two women. I guess what we got here is Game of Thrones, Venice Beach version. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
I know you can see anything at Venice Beach, but I didn't think you'd see.
Do you normally keep a stick with nails in it in your car? I mean, I don't know.
When you go to the beach.
Medieval. It's so Negan from Walking Dead. It's crazy. All right, let's end on a cheerful note. A raccoon that was stranded atop a power pole in Ontario was finally rescued after 2 days. So local residents said it looked like the raccoon was getting electric shocks from the utility equipment. I have to tell you, that has got to be one freaked out, mind-blown raccoon. It's up at the top of the pole, and if it moves the wrong way, suddenly it gets shocked. So the power company in Ontario temporarily shut off electricity to the area so that they could rescue the raccoon. And we have a video. We're going to post it on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. A utility worker in a bucket truck goes up with a long pole and kind of nudges the raccoon and helps it safely get down from the pole.
That's so nice.
They took the raccoon to a vet, and the vet is absolutely fine. And the vet said, no, you know, the raccoon will not have lasting damage. But I beg to differ. That is a raccoon that's going to have nightmares and PTSD.
Forever.
You will never get that raccoon up a tree again. That raccoon's like, I don't know what to tell y'all, but I wouldn't. You climb to the top of one of those things and
not good.
So there you go. A happy ending for Rocky Raccoon. Coming up, we have Bob and Sherry's Small Plates and comic creature Lawson. Happy Thursday. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
Food is very cultural, and like, what do I know? But six people were arrested in New York this week because they were illegally importing goose and duck intestines from China, hiding them under packaged rattlesnake, or mislabeling them as like a pet product on customs form. You're not allowed to import duck intestines or goose intestines or duck blood or even hawthorn fruit. These are restricted items, but they brought them in and they've been sold to a number of customers, including restaurants. So this is a federal case, and they're charged with importing, storing, and selling hundreds of pounds of illegal food items. So I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what dish goose intestines go in to really make it special. That's a, I mean, and I know chitlins or hog intestines, Lamar.
Yeah, they are.
Are you a chitlin eater?
I know she directed that at me.
I was just about to say chitlins. Hog intestines, Lamar.
Well, I mean, I've tried chitlins. I didn't like them, but I did try them. Are you a chitlins guy?
I've tried them. I've tried them, and I'm not crazy about it. I used to work a place that was a meat and three, and she had chitlins, and she was really good about getting hers really clean, and she parboiled them for a while and whatever. They weren't bad. It's just, they're not great, so I'm not eating it. I don't eat nothing that's not great. Okay, I don't. I don't eat mediocre stuff. I don't. If chitlins were great, I'd eat chitlins, but they're not great. So
I have to tell you, I'll eat clams that people are disgusted by. I'll eat oysters; they're disgusted. But that TV show sent me to Sally, South Carolina once to do the Chitlin Festival, the Chitlin Strut Festival, and it's boiled intestines of a hog, basically, is what it is.
Yeah.
So you say, all right, it's boiled and blah, blah, blah. The smell on my clothing, I had to throw my clothes away.
I'm an adventurous eater, but if my food has to go through what amounts to colonoscopy prep before I can eat it, I'm probably going to pass.
That's about it. Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's Bob and Sherry. Small Plates is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people.
It is time now for Bob and Sherry's Small Plates. Now, hang on. In just a moment, I'm going to tell you a story that is probably going to make you repulsed, but I want you to hear it. We're going to start up, though, with Freaky Friday, the movie that was so popular. Was that 20 years ago? It had to be at least 20 years ago. Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan were the stars. And, of course, they change bodies. The younger one is now the older one and vice versa. Here's a little clip from it.
My hair, it's gone. And what is this? What have you done to my
hair? Mom, it's an earring.
Take it out. Take it out right now.
No, it looks cool.
Oh, don't start with me. And those clothes are going the first thing tomorrow.
Why? Everyone likes them. You look great.
I look like Stevie Nicks.
Who's he?
And what are you doing with this?
I'm eating.
You cannot eat fast food.
Why not?
Because it will go down to your throat and drop instantly to my thighs.
Oh, come on.
Watch the road. Oh, this food may make you blow up like a balloon, but it will do nothing whatsoever to me.
Oh, Mom.
Oh. Oh, God, this is good.
Mom, that's not fair.
My first French fry in 8 years.
You have to admit, that was a clever movie. God, and so according to Lindsay Lohan, who was just interviewed, they're doing a sequel, a Freaky Friday sequel. Her quote is, "It's going on. I don't want to say too much. We're both excited about it. I'm going to speak for Jamie." So evidently they have, as they say in Los Angeles, they have inked the deal. I can't imagine what do you think the concept would be?
Here's what I think. I have an easier time believing that two human souls can swap bodies and hilarity ensues than I do in the premise for Lindsay's other big movie, The Parent Trap. Like, what kind of soulless, monstrous psychopaths go, "I don't love you anymore, so I want a divorce. I'm taking one twin, you take the other. Let's let them think they don't have any siblings. Deal." Like, please bring Freaky Friday all day long. All day long.
I know. Do you know that movie, The Parent Trap? That was a remake of the original. Hollywood thought it was such a great idea to have the kids split up. They did it twice.
It was one thing when, I don't know when the original was made, like in the 60s maybe?
1970? Yeah.
That was, I'm going to give the people of the not so distant past a pass. But when they remade it with Dennis Quaid, and I think it was Natasha Richardson, wasn't it, who was the mom?
It was.
We were firmly, like, when that movie was remade, we firmly understood divorce and custody and the impact on kids. And yet these two were like, "I get one twin, you get the other. Let's keep it a secret."
I know. But if they there's no storyline. You know, they had to do that, I suppose.
Or don't remake the movie.
Or don't remake it. You're right.
See, there's another possibility.
Here's the repelling thing that I'm going to tell you. Do you recall Oscar season when COVID hit and they decided not to give the performers Oscar gift bags? Do you remember that? This year, because everybody's suffering so much, no Oscar gift bags, which are, of course, are very extravagant. And I think they went away for a couple of years. Well, guess what? With the Oscars that are coming up in a couple of days, they are back. Do you want to hear what's in it?
I'm ready.
96th Annual Academy Awards. They're going all out for these gift bags. They are worth about $250,000 each. According to Distinctive Assets, the Los Angeles-based entertainment marketing company, everyone wins bags, and that's what they're calling them. Everyone wins bags. Well, not everyone. Not my sorry ass sitting on a couch. I don't win. But everybody there wins, and you get a variety of skincare and wellness products. Okay. Gourmet popcorn. All right. Designer throw pillows. Trips, like an all-inclusive stay at a Swiss chalet for up to 10 of your friends. A 7-day holistic wellness retreat. And a 3-night stay at a private villa in St. Barts. Other gifts include a private mentalist show, sustainable designer throw pillows, a micro-needling device, a premium gourmet popcorn, vegan chocolate, a red light sleep therapy device, a travel duffel, and an in-home sleep consultation. The 96th Annual Academy Awards will happen March 10th at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood. So I'm back again.
I'm so thankful. Prayer is a powerful thing because I have asked God, please bless these movie stars who can't afford face masks and vacations. Please bless them with so many freebies and also some sort of red light device that I already forgot what it does, but Lord, if you could see fit to give them one of those in that basket too. Amen.
I know. And their 10 friends need to go with them on vacation.
I think y'all missed. They also have to have vegan chocolate. Who wants vegan chocolate?
Oh, little man.
Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that.
Vegan chocolate, Lamar? The same people that are keeping turkey bacon in business. That's who wants your vegan chocolate.
Yeah, they should be beat with a stick.
So there it is.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
Well, I got to get y'all's opinion on this. I ran across this. There's an anonymous bride and groom. They got called out by this Facebook group that I guess judges people for what they do with their weddings and whatever. They got called out for reportedly asking that their friends and family to send money with their RSVP that would contribute towards the cost of their wedding buffet dinner. Okay. The reception rates are $40 for an adult, $20 for children age 12 and under. The invitations text, it started off by letting guests off the hook from gift shopping. Okay. It says, in lieu of traditional gifts, we kindly request that you contribute towards the cost of our reception buffet. To facilitate this process, we kindly ask that you include your contribution to the meals when you RSVP. This will help us to provide an accurate number to our venue and ensure a seamless experience for everyone. And they added, kindly include your name and wedding buffet contribution in the payment reference. And ooh, the memo included, your presence at our wedding is the most meaningful gift we could ask for. And we are truly grateful for your love and support as we embark on this new chapter of our lives together. Now, they got beat up pretty bad from some of the people writing in. But if you can't afford a wedding, then don't have a wedding, you know? But some other people, one person supported this and said, I have absolutely zero problem with this. And I think it's kind of weird that people expect a great meal and alcohol for free, but will also complain if the food and alcohol isn't good enough or if it's not an open bar. And another one said, is it bad that I actually don't have an issue with this? It's a reasonable amount. It's less than what most people would spend on a gift. And they were very clear that they didn't want gifts as well as the contribution. A big wedding venue CEO that does all some brokerage stuff for weddings, he reminded prospective event attendees that their present alone is no present. I mean, them being there is not a present, but adding that money for them to start their new life or go towards their honeymoon, that's an appropriate gift. So, you know, what do you think? I mean,
I love it. I am impressed. I love it too.
I love it.
As a father who paid for two weddings within the last 10 years, never thought that I would write checks that big in my life. Biggest checks I've ever written in my life. I think hats off to that couple. And I agree with you, Lamar. They pointed out you don't have to buy us a gift. You know, we're going to buy our own dinnerware. You don't have to do it. And I agree also with the person who commented, $40 is reasonable. I mean, last time I went to a wedding, the gift that we bought was more than $40. I think it's great not to start your life off in the hole. If they have to pay for their own wedding, they don't have a mother and father who are going to do that, and they have to pay for it themselves, I say go get it.
Turn me loose on a buffet for $40? I'm making money at this wedding.
I know.
I'm making money.
Yeah, we're going to invite everyone except Lamar. That's going to put us back.
But really, really and truly, when you first see it, because of all the traditions, you're like, wait a minute. That's it.
Callous.
Well,
yeah.
But it's really not, because think about this. Not every gift you get is one you're going to use. You're going to get multiple gifts of the same. You know, I mean, honestly, you can do your own gifts if you don't have to spend all this money on the wedding itself.
Exactly.
I don't know. Doesn't sound bad.
The pressure is off. The pressure is off. You don't have to, you know, fawn over all of the different gifts. You don't have to set up a registry. I will say, depending on, you know, how much they want to spend on their wedding, $40 a head, it would have taken, if I was doing that with like Allie's wedding, we would have had to include 8,000 people on the guest list in order to break even for that.
I love this idea, because some people's wedding registry, like, they've chosen Hermes China, and you're like, wow, the only thing I can afford here is this $200 gravy boat. I don't really want to give you a gravy boat. That doesn't feel very personal.
Yeah.
Or a pickle fork.
I'll pay. And by the way, you ain't never going to use that pickle fork because I know your fiance. Know. He's going to pick the pickle out with his hand. Okay. That's so what do you need a pickle fork for?
People look at this and they go, well, this is just not right. Well, wait a minute. You going to, the only thing that the difference between a gift that you take to the wedding and doing this is they're not telling you what to do, but they're expecting you to show up. You don't go to a wedding without a gift. I mean, you just don't. You're not supposed to. So this makes it simple for everybody. So I think it's a good idea.
I love it.
I like it too. Yeah. Yep. I like
Straight
it too.
Ahead. Everyone needs a laugh with comedian Preacher Lawson. It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Nissan.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here is comedian Preacher Lawson.
Thank you so much. Good to be back. Hey, it was my birthday last week, baby. Yay! That's cool. Pisces season. Hey, that's right. You know what that means. Nothing, because it's not real. But it was my birthday, and it's really cool, man. My birthday and stuff, man. I guess it's my birthday present right now. That's what I feel like. It's awesome. Yeah. And nobody asked for my age, because it's rude. You ever ask someone their age? You're like, I'm not going to tell you. It's like, all right, but I can see you, you know. Your face is snitching on you right now. Like, what if I was like, nobody asked my race? You'd be like, all right, but probably black. But I didn't do much for my birthday. I was studying a lot. I'm trying to learn Spanish because that's my wife's first language, you know. So, yep, that, just in case she starts trashing me to the family, I could be like, okay. Yeah, that's all I got. But I got time because I ain't met her yet. But I know what I like. I know what me gusta, all right? Yeah. No, my type is women that like me back. That's my jam right there. I'm single, and I've been single for like 4 years, I think. 4 years, 2 months, 8 days, 9 hours. I don't fully remember, but I hate being single. The only time I want to be single is when I'm in a relationship. But I pick really good exes, man. I love my exes. They're great, you know, and I know I compliment my ex, and people are like, well, if your ex is so cool, why you break up with them? Because I broke up with all of them undefeated. But that doesn't matter, you know? I'm not going to trash my ex. You ever meet that person? I don't know what it is. Every time I meet somebody, they're crazy, you know? It's you. You're the reason. Because I dated one person that was crazy, and I knew it the whole time. I remember the first date. I was like, oh, I'm going to try it out. It was great. I loved it, man. Yeah. But she used to lie a lot. She lied a lot, which is okay. It's like spice. You know what I mean? Everybody likes, no one likes pepper pasta, but who don't like a little pepper on their pasta, you know? So I lie, too. I do regular lies, though. I say stuff like, on my way. Or when I'm on like a mercy X-ray on the plane and the flight attendant's like, hey, are you willing and able to sacrifice your life for a bunch of strangers for a little bit extra leg room? I'm like, yeah. No, I'm not. I remember sitting there, some lady next to me was like, I am not able to do that. I'm so sorry. I can't. And like she moved and went to the back. Me neither, stupid. I'm lying, okay? I just want to do this. I don't want to be in the back. Now you're going to be uncomfortable folding up in your honesty. People going to scoot their booty past your neck. Excuse me. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm just trying to get to my C84D. I just got to... Oh, did I pass it? Oh, okay. All right. My bad. Okay. Here's my booty again, stranger. I'm sorry. I just got to... I do lies like that, you know? I do lie a lot. I'm not even black. Check it out. My name is Sherry. No, I'm black. I've been black my whole life. I did do a 23andMe and said I was 13% Irish. I was like, what? Where'd that come from? I didn't even notice. You kidding me? I was talking to my friend. He's like, I'm not giving the government my DNA. Are you kidding me? And I was like, you got a cell phone. It's too late, man. You remember when you used to talk about things and ads would pop up? And you're like, oh, my gosh, it'd freak you out. I was just talking about that. Now when it happens, you're like, thanks for reminding me. I forgot to order that on Amazon. You know, I'm not getting the chip in my brain, but I know 10 years from now, I'll be like, they got Netflix on the chip. You know, like, he's like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how someone did that test they matched with a murder. He's in jail now. And I was like, where? Did you murder somebody? Because you should let me know. That's my time, y'all. My name is Preacher Lawson. Mucho gusto.
It's kind of true that when people go, yeah, well, if you give your DNA to 23andMe, you could end up in jail for murder. Well, did I murder someone? Well, that's because that might be where I belong.
That's the thing about it.
No. Because I'm thinking, unless there's like a great big conspiracy, if that's not my DNA, because I didn't kill nobody. We're going to post Preacher Lawson up at BOBANDSHERI.com. Click the menu tab, look for Everyone Needs a Laugh. And while you're there, do sign up for the Bob and Sherry newsletter. It's so fun, y'all. Yes. We don't ever spam you.
No.
We like Lamar is working away. He's writing something special just for you, just for the newsletter.
Right.
And we have contests and pictures and videos. And sometimes we send a baby farm animal out to an unsuspecting and unlucky subscriber. That could be you. BOBANDSHERI.com. This is Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at BobandSherry.com.
You guys, I just don't know what to think. So there's this woman on TikTok. Her name is Dara Star Tucker, and she's a singer, and she used to work on cruise ships. Like, she'd be out at sea, like, all the time, singing on the cruise ships. And she made a TikTok connecting deaths on cruise ships with free ice cream parties. She said that it's been her experience that when the crew throws an ice cream party, that there's a connection. And here's what she said, quote, she said, if the crew suddenly makes a bunch of ice cream available to the passengers, it's a free ice cream party. It's often because more people have died on the ship than they have room for in the morgue, and they need to free up some freezer space.
No! You've just ruined it.
She said, listen, it's just life. You know, there are a lot of older people on cruise ships. And I've read this, that, you know, if you look at the population of cruise ship regulars, there are a lot of older people. People die on a cruise the same way they die anywhere else. And the morgue holds, on most ships, right around 6 or 7 people. And so if you had more than 6 or 7, it's an ice cream party. About 2.5 million people have looked at this TikTok. And wait, Lamar, one person commented, cruise ship medic here can confirm the morgue and ice cream correlation.
I had a great aunt die on a cruise to Europe. So she dies on the cruise, and my great uncle's there. So now you're stuck on the ship until you arrive in Europe.
Yeah, well, they don't turn it around.
This sounds really tragic to me. Unless, of course, it's salted caramel, then it's a whole other story.
Hey, you know what? It's just a fact of life. You know, nobody lives forever. Free ice cream for everyone. I mean, I guess it could be worse. Oh my gosh. It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to BobandSherry.com.
It's talk back time. You can call us on the phone at 844-52-SHERI. And for all of you who DM us and you miss the chat room, you know you can call 844-52-SHERI. Or if you have our app, which is free in Google Play and the Apple Store, you can just tap that little microphone in the bottom center of the screen and talk, and the app will do the rest.
Okay, so I'm listening to the podcast about this guy who won this $4.7 million lottery and took the lump sum payment of $3 million, and you all are talking about how much money you would give to the clerk. Number one, y'all are nuts. I don't know what to tell you. I love y'all, but y'all are crazy. Lamar, you're generous, because I wouldn't even thought to give $100. Y'all are like, oh yeah, $5,000. Boy, I don't know what's wrong with you. There's no way in the world I would ever. Like, there's no way. I've got, like, kids and a house and, you know, to take care of. Like, no, I'm not giving the clerk that much money. Like, oh my gosh. Wow. I'm going to go get a job at the gas station that you all are buying your lottery tickets from, because y'all are crazy. I love y'all, but y'all are crazy. Bye.
What a happy person. How much money was that win?
And generous.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. How much money we were saying if we won it, I would give. What was I going to give? $50,000.
Well, you lied. You lied and said you'd give $100,000. You lied.
Right.
You lied.
How much money did I win to give the $100,000?
A few million.
It was three million. It wasn't. It three, wasn't three like million. The
yeah.
A fortune.
It wasn't a hundred million. Yeah.
You ain't
yeah.
giving 100,000.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was.
He might, because he lives to keep score and get credit for things, Lamar. He might actually do it just so that he could like bring it up a million times and tell us about it.
Not because he's nice. Not because he's a decent human being.
He's got to get the credit.
Not because he's a person that would like to help somebody that may be struggling with working at a convenience store.
Hey, that clerk better be thankful. If she's not, this is like the guy I let in line. When I let you out or let you over in front of the line, I don't get to wave. I'm tempted to ram your car.
No, I know. You're right about that. You are right about that. You know, sometimes when I let somebody in and they don't give me the wave, I say bad words as they drive away, you know, under my breath. I admit it. I do want the credit for that.
I tell you what, when somebody lets me in, Carla gets so mad. When somebody lets me in, I got the window down. I got my arm out the window. And I'm waving.
Make sure they see.
I'm almost to the point of, listen, if I catch a red light, I'll hop out, go back there and offer him a kidney. I mean, I'm just telling you, I appreciate that. I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Here's the thing. This convenience store clerk that you're giving $100,000 to, better go on Facebook or Instagram or somewhere, TikTok, and praise you to the heavens, because that's what you're buying there. And what if that person is like, oh wow, thank you, and that's it?
You know, it's all the years that I have worked with you. That's what you think of me. That's my bottom line. The first thing is that I get credit for it. Not that perhaps I'm thanking Jesus that I was I'm benefiting for these millions and I'm helping the poor soul who's working there. That, after all these years, that's your opinion of me.
I love how Jesus is all of a sudden a part of the
equation. Oh, I'm going all out. I'm calling the big guy in.
We have legitimized everything now. We got the blessing of Jesus.
That's right. That's what I was trying to do, and this is what I get.
Okay.
Ridicule.
Okay, listen. Be careful, because when you start bringing Jesus into this, he's going to say, if you do good, do it in secret. Do it in the dark so nobody can see. Leave him out. Leave him out.
All I would ask is that I bring the check for $100,000 to that guy, and all I ask is that he smile and say thank you. He doesn't have to post. It would be nice if he'd post on Facebook, but I'm not saying he has to. Impossible.
Also,
Instagram.
Also, one caveat: you'll give him a T-shirt that says "Bob gave me $100,000" and ask him to wear it at least twice a week, once on the weekend and once during the week.
Hey, Bob, with a check that big, we can get one of those great big 3 foot by 5 foot checks that we can hand.
You know
to
what
them.
Happens though? He gives the clerk the $100,000. And some time goes by, and he goes back into that convenience store again, and he's like, oh, there's my man that I gave $100,000 to. How you doing there? And the guy goes, oh, God, the IRS is all over me. You know that money you gave me? I had to give the IRS like $30,000. And that's all he says. And Bob walks out of there, comes on the show the next day and goes, what, now I've got to pay his taxes too? Is there any end to it?
Hey, you know, it's the funniest thing. Bob comes on the show the next day.
That is the punchline.
You know what? You know what? I'm gonna pray for y'all. I am. I'm gonna pray for y'all.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for telling me so that I can note that so you get credit. Thank you, Jesus, for making Bob pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Coming up, why you should not rescue a stranded platypus. It's so thrilling. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the Bob and Sherry Keepsake Family Photo Album. And since you're a part of the family,
you are an unceasing onslaught of dysfunction.
We're looking for pictures you've taken with Bob and Sherry at Bob and Sherry events.
Or around town.
If your picture is selected, you can be a part of this very special Bob and Sherry Keepsake Album.
Oh, wow.
Hi.
If you got a picture, go ahead and send it to hello@bobandsherry.com. You never know. Your photo could make it to our family album. Don't forget your photos to hello@bobandsherry.com.
Instant access to the podcast, podcast, fun size, and more with the free Bob and Sherry app.
I keep thinking about that story of the couple who asked anyone coming to their wedding to not bring a gift, but to give them $40 to cover the cost of food and drink at their wedding. So they go into their marriage completely debt-free because their parents did not either want to or did not have enough money to pay for the wedding. It was going to be up to them. I've just been thinking about that. I don't know what gets into brides, and I do think it's mostly brides, that you would rather have a pickle fork from a guest that you will never use, you know? When I, rather than being debt-free for the wedding, when the ex and I got married, it was a big deal. There were 400 people there, and we started getting these gifts. And I come from a background where we did not have matching silverware. And all of a sudden, we're getting matching silverware and good silverware, you know? And when the pickle fork showed up, I looked at it, and I don't think I'd ever even seen a pickle fork before, but her people were, you know, the kind of people that would have a pickle fork. And I looked at it and I said, Bobby, you have arrived. You are now a guy with a complete set of silverware and a pickle fork. I have no idea where any of that silver went. And the pickle fork, I think that Allie was using it in the sandbox to play with one of her dolls and left it there. That stuff gets gone. It gets gone. Well, young people, go into marriage debt-free if you possibly can.
Your ex did not have the same value for those things that you did because she grew up with them and never gave them a minute's thought. For you, exactly, they represented something. And for her, it was like, here's a fork. Go comb your doll's hair with this. Get out of my sight for a minute.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. I don't blame her. I mean, if you came from it, it's like if you gave a kid a BMW for their 16th birthday, how would they get excited when they go out in the world and they have enough money to, you know, to buy a nice car? Right there, anything below a BMW is kind of a disappointment.
I have known people, a handful of people, that got the offer of, you can have a wedding or your dad and I will help you with a down payment for a house. And they took the wedding. And they're still married to that spouse, but they regret it. And it's only a handful of people that I know who regret not just going off somewhere like beautiful and getting married and having like a little party with all your favorite people and your family and then buying a house. Maybe yours don't. I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people that are priced out of the housing market. And they would very much like to be in a house.
I know. Mine are. And they all have great jobs. But, you know, people my age are not selling houses because we got an interest rate for 2.9%. And so there's a problem with availability and expense and down payments and insurance and all of that stuff. And I said to them, I said, would you, if you could do it, oh, no, Dad, don't even bring that up. That was great. Everybody had a great time.
And it's wonderful. Listen, it's a great party. I've been to some spectacular, fun weddings that were just a joy. Rachel and John's wedding was just wonderful, right? It was perfect. But, you know, there are people that wish that they could do it differently. I think my niece wishes that she had taken the cash. And even though her wedding was a blast, I think she wishes now that she had taken the cash. But I'm the wrong person to really advise the people in my family because I say things like, take the cash. You're probably going to have another shot at a wedding anyway.
Yeah, that's not a good idea. Even as a joke, brides have no sense of humor. Zero.
Especially with that. We both know, you yourself told me that your fiancé is a chucklehead sometimes. You know, like maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah. People,
what are the odds?
People have to, we have to celebrate. Like, we have to find things to celebrate in this life. And what is worthy of a celebration more than like love and commitment? So yeah, if you want to have the wedding, have the wedding. But as a guest, I'd rather help y'all pay for the catering than give you a pickle for it.
I would too. I would much rather see that, because I would know these are responsible people and they're going to have a shot at it. But yeah, have a wedding. You could do. I was married to Mary in your backyard. Now you've spent a ton of money, but I mean you can get married anywhere and go to the beach or something for a few days, and then take that money, baby, and take put it toward a house or something. Yeah. All right. Well, brides, June brides coming up. Good luck to you. It's Bob and Sherry. Can you believe this is sponsored by Avatar: The Last Airbender, now streaming on Netflix.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
Believe this. I believe this.
So if what you know about the platypus comes from the Disney cartoon Phineas and Ferb and Harry the Platypus.
Vacation and school comes along just to end it. So the annual problem for our generation is finding a good way to spend it.
Then you don't have any idea how bizarre and terrifying the platypus really is. So they're one of the weirdest animals in the whole world. They look like a cross between a beaver, an otter, and a duck. They're only found in Australia. They can live on land and on water. And the male platypus have these hollow spurs on their back legs. And those spurs are linked to glands that produce a very sticky, clear venom. And this venom peaks during mating season, which usually begins about, you know, the end of the winter. Science doesn't really know a lot about the platypus, but they think that this venom is used to compete with other males for access, you know, to woo the ladies. So platypus venom isn't life-threatening to platypuses or people, but it can cause some incredible, intense, agonizing pain. And there's an enzyme in it which can trigger cell death and tissue swelling. So it's a really big deal. And we need to understand the platypus, especially if we live in Australia, because a woman named Jenny Forward was driving home from work in Tasmania, which for those of us who grew up with Warner Brothers cartoons, we immediately think of the Tasmanian devil, but Tasmania is a place. And the Tasmanian devil is a real animal. Anyway, Jenny's driving home in Tasmania, and she spots something along the side of the road and she slows down, and it's an injured platypus. So she decides that she's going to rescue this injured platypus and take it to like a veterinarian. So she picks up the platypus, and that's when those two venomous spikes dug into either side of her right hand and released their venom. Jenny said, "It was as though someone stabbed me with a knife. The pain was excruciating. It was so much worse than childbirth." She's standing on the side of the road in Tasmania with this angry platypus. She had to dig the platypus's spurs out of her own flesh. Then she had to drive herself to the hospital, where doctors had to conduct emergency surgery to stitch up her wounds. They had to give her antibiotics, and she was in so much agony that they had to give her IV pain medication. A week later, her hand is still red and swollen, and she's still in pain. So for Americans who only know Perry the platypus from Phineas and Ferb, you cannot pick them up. They are not your friends, and there's no anti-venom for platypus venom. They had to give this woman a nerve block in order to deal with the pain. So if you see a platypus like on the side of the road or in a storm drain,
or
what have you, leave them the hell alone. According to the director of the Bonorong Wildlife Sanctuary in Australia, platypuses travel long distances on land, and they also use storm drains on highways. It is very rare that you'll actually encounter an injured platypus. And if you do, you should go get like a plastic Rubbermaid storage container and put it over the animal and then call for help. You should never try to pick up or pet or handle a platypus. That people have to be trained how to pick up and handle the platypus. So even though it looks like a cartoon beaver with a duck face, with little teeny tiny hands, and it doesn't mean to hurt you, like there's no real evidence of platypuses being aggressive, it will hit you with those spurs and you'll end up in the ER with a nerve block and surgery. Like poor
Jenny
Forward.
Don't pick it up. A cat can do the same thing. You know, a cat can do the same thing if it doesn't like you, let alone a platypus. Australia just has the craziest animal stories, don't they? Yeah, and Tasmanian, you're right. It's an island. I've been to Australia twice. I wanted to go to Tasmania so much. We just couldn't get there. And I wanted to go because of the Tasmanian devil, which looks like a crazy dog.
But they are real. Tasmanian devils are real.
They are real.
I never know, like, as a broadcaster, will today be the day that I will be able to bring to the people an insane platypus story? And today was that day. Hallelujah. Yep. Let me get this posted up on our Facebook. This is Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talkback. Talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
I saw this last week, and I meant to bring this up. Louisville, Kentucky emergency crews rappelled off of the 2nd Street Bridge to rescue the driver of a semi-truck that was dangling over the Ohio River. Police said officers responded to the bridge on a crash involving a semi-truck, a pickup truck, and two passenger vehicles. The crash caused the semi-truck to break through the western barrier of the bridge and partially dangle over the Ohio River. A woman was driving the truck, and she's hanging off the bridge over the river. The Louisville Fire Chief, Brian O'Neill, says she was extremely lucky that the truck didn't fall. Firefighter Bryce Carden rappelled down to the dangling cab to pull the woman to safety. This is probably one of the nicest, happiest guys you'll ever want to meet in your life, O'Neill said of Carden. And he is the exact right person to put down there to try to keep the patient calm, very cool and collected, and to understand that she's in safe hands so that she doesn't panic, and to know that she's got trained professionals helping her out. I was not nervous at all going down over the edge. I knew they had me on the top side, Carden said. Once I reached her, she was super calm and collected and helped me do what I needed to do to get her to safety. She was in the truck dangling over the water for 45 minutes. These were some serious heroes we're talking about here. This was some really professional, well-practiced, well-trained stuff, O'Neill said. They've trained for this type of stuff. This is a very much worst-case scenario. The driver of the semi-truck, a Louisville resident, was taken to the hospital to make sure she was okay. They said they've trained for this exact thing before, but it's one of those deals. It's just in your back pocket because you can't imagine you ever have to do it. But it went off like clockwork, and she's good to go. Unbelievable. The pictures were breathtaking of that truck dangling over there. I mean, it was nuts. It was nuts. But everybody's happy. This is Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
Lamar is with us. Lamar.
Hey, how's it going?
Sherry came up with this idea. I had some concerns earlier about asking people to call up with how they try to get their parents to love them. I thought it was perhaps a bit on the maudlin side. But she said, no, Bob, go with me on this. And I said, Sherry,
I think of you, Lamar. You did all sorts of wacky stuff to get on your dad's good side, didn't you?
Well, my dad and I, our bonding situation was probably a little different. He wasn't much on throwing the old baseball or shooting the hoops or, you know, any kind of snow hunting or fishing or stuff like that. He really did like that drinking deal. He was pretty good at it. He had worked at it pretty much all his life. Uh-huh. And so the only time that we could really bond is about 11 or 12 o'clock at night during the week on a school night. He'd run out of liquor. And we lived in a dry county. In Georgia, the counties, each county votes on liquor or beer, so we lived in a dry county. We'd drive across the river to a bootlegger. So he'd get me up about 11:30.
On a school night.
Yeah, on a school night. And he'd say, come on, we're going across the river. And I'd say, okay. You know, so we'd hop in the car. And
let me interrupt right now for all of our California listeners. Not too many cliches going on here, huh? Continue.
So we go, we get in the car, we go across the river, and it was a beer joint over there, and all he sold was beer, but he bootlegged out of his house. So we'd pull up on the backside there, and we'd park, and he'd leave me in the car, and he'd go in. Well, I'd watch, and he'd go in. After he was in there for a few minutes, you'd see the guy come out the back door, and he'd go up the hill. Then he'd come back with a bottle of liquor wrapped in a paper bag, and he'd come to the car, and he'd open the driver's side door, and he would slide the liquor in, and he would hand me a bag of pork skins. That was my prize.
Oh, boy, that's living, baby.
So it was the upside to this was when he woke me out of a sound sleep at 11:30, I knew there was pork skin somewhere coming along, okay?
So a little smile would come on your face.
So sure, then in a few more minutes, Daddy'd come out, and he'd bring a Coca-Cola with him in the tall returnable bottle, the old Coke bottles, the returnables, and he'd hand me the Coke bottle. So we'd get in the car, and we'd get, it'd always be about halfway across the bridge. He'd pop the cap on the liquor, and he'd turn it up, and he'd take him three or four really good long pulls out of the liquor, straight out of the bottle. And he'd cap it off, and he'd loot his breath, and my job was to hand him the Coca-Cola at this time.
I thought the Coca-Cola was for you.
No.
You don't give a kid caffeine that late on a school night.
Oh, bottle. I'm sorry. What was I thinking?
This is Lamar. You think Lamar's father had no sense?
No, he knew what he was doing. So by this time, he'd reach over because it's my job to hand him the Coca-Cola. And so at this point, I'm thinking we need some levity here. And I'm thinking this would be pretty funny. And so when he'd reach for the Coke bottle, I'd pull it back. And I'd move it to the left. I'd move it to the right. And he'd be grabbing for the Coke bottle. And the whole time, he's going...
Because of the white lightning.
That's
strong.
It's not like he's buying a really nice single malt. And so it took me a few trips, but I learned how many times I could pull the bottle away before he'd slap me. You know what I'm saying? The first couple of times I did it, boy, it wasn't a good thing. But you could do it just at right the time he'd get ready to slap me. I'd hand him the Coke. And man, you talk about a man glad to get a drink of a refreshing Coca-Cola.
Now, see, wasn't this a cheerful story of Lamar's desperate attempt to get his dad to love him?
Yeah, it was.
It was very amusing.
It's a bonding thing. It was no doubt about it. But we did that all. And I kept thinking, I've always thought, I wonder what my mama thought letting me get in the car with him, knowing he was half drunk when we left and finished up on the way back. You know, no seat belts, no nothing. We just driving across the river.
On a school night when you needed your rest.
Why did he need you? Was it just for the Coca-Cola?
No, just for company. He didn't want to go by himself. That was our father and son time.
Isn't that amazing?
I'm just guessing that eating a bag of pork rinds every night at bedtime didn't do anything to help you get into those husky-sized tough skins, did it?
Yeah, them britches with the double knees, that was the reason for that. No doubt.
When you were sitting in the car with him, though, there was a certain part of you, even though as bizarre and as twisted as this was, you were sort of glad to be with your dad, weren't you?
Yeah, listen, life is normal to whatever you do. Whatever you do is normal to you.
Bottom line, you were riding shotgun for the man.
And it was my job to hold the Coke.
And it was your job.
He could have picked someone else to keep him company those rides, but he picked you.
Yeah.
Well, now, later on, we've got a dog, and he sort of started taking the dog.
And at the end, tell him what he told the dog.
He would set up. Now, you got to understand something. My dad, he had bad hearing. He was deaf in one ear and couldn't hear out of the other one. He'd had some problems. So he wore a hearing aid. So a lot of times, you know, people's names and stuff, he didn't pronounce them exactly right. And we had a dog, and his name was Fritz. He was a dachshund. And my dad would set up at night, and you could hear him at night about 2 o'clock in the morning. He'd come to, and the dog would be sitting there looking at him, and he'd start singing to the dog. And he called the dog Fitcher because he couldn't understand Fritz. So he would sit there, and he'd go, "Oh, Fitcher, you're the only friend I got. Oh, Fitcher, you're the only one that loves me." You know? And I just sat and listened. And then he'd sing to the dog. He'd go, "Ew," and then he'd sing to the... Man, it drives you crazy, man. It drives you crazy. I'd think to myself, man, take another slug and pass out. I got to get some sleep, you know.
You know what? If you don't laugh about this stuff, you cry, and you never get beyond it.
I know. That's
be
beautiful, man. That is just beautiful. All right, Lamar, listen, you take care.
Yeah, y'all brought up some great memories. Have a good day
today.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
So, this giant, wealthy Indian wedding went down just a couple of days ago. And the couple, mm-hmm. they come from two of India's richest families. I mean, these people are billionaires. And they hired 21 chefs because there are 1,000 guests coming to their wedding. And it's a multi-day celebration. And so you have the pre-wedding celebration, then you have the wedding, then I guess you have the post-wedding celebration. And people, like some really famous people, have been invited from all around the world. And you are required, there's a dress code, you are required to have 5 different outfits. So on the Friday night of last weekend, the guest went to a cocktail party at a place which just was decorated to be an evening in Everland, I guess happily ever afterland. So you had to have like an outfit, you know, suitable for a fairy tale wonder. And then the next day, they were visiting the Groom's Animal Rescue Center, which is on more than 650 acres and home to more than 2,000 animals. And they were suggested to wear comfortable shoes and kind of rugged outdoor clothes. Then that night, they had to go to like a giant ball and dress up in like Bollywood attire. And then on the third day, they went hiking on the Tusker Trails, and they had to have cute hiking clothes for that. And then the final event is called a Hashtagshar, and you had to have traditional Indian attire for that. Rihanna is performing at the wedding because, of course, Rihanna is performing at the wedding. When the other sister got married in 2018, Beyonce came and performed at that wedding. Does anyone want to guess what it costs to have Beyonce perform at your wedding? Because I have the number.
I'd like to guess. I'm going to say $2 million.
Okay. Who else wants to guess?
$1.5 million.
Doc, Max, how about you? How much to have Beyonce come play at the wedding?
I'm going to go higher. I'm going to say it's $5 million.
Doc, you got anything? You got a guess here? For Beyonce to come and sing Crazy in Love just to you and the bride?
He doesn't really want to be a part of the show anymore, Sherry.
It's got to be $10 million.
There he is.
$10 million.
$10 million. Whoa.
Well, Doc's closer because it's $6 million. Now, that was 2018 money.
Lord.
Right now, Texas Hold'em is one of the biggest songs in the country, so I'm going to go ahead and guess that Queen Bey is going to get a few more bucks to perform at your wedding than just $6 million.
Do you know what you're describing is my wife's dream? To be able to go to like a 5-day party with different outfits every day, and some of them are kind of like costumes. She loves for her birthday, we have to have like a James Bond, you know, costume. We have to have a cowboy theme or whatever. She would love this. I think she'd skip the hiking, but she'd get dressed up for it.
Well, not only did you get an invitation to all of these events, you were given a 9-page dress code. 9 pages, so that at no time would you look like a hot mess in their photos. And
for the pictures,
they chartered a bunch of planes and boats to get people everywhere, but there was a limit of 3 suitcases per couple. So you and your plus one could only have 3 suitcases. You have a 9-page dress code and a 3 suitcase limit.
That's going to be tough.
Think about that. It also, the 9-page dress code also informs you that there will be professional hairstylists and makeup artists on hand to help, because as the dress code says, quote, we would like you to enjoy each moment to the fullest and make beautiful memories that last a lifetime. What they don't say is, we don't want you to look like a mess in our photos, but why else are you giving people hair and makeup? And the catering, I told you, all the chefs that they had, it is insane. They are preparing more than 2,500 dishes from cuisines all around the world for you to nibble on.
You know, I don't have a problem with any of this. I really don't, because there's no poverty or anything in India.
Yeah. Spend it if you got it, right?
I don't think I have five outfits.
I just got five different friends I go out with. I got more friends.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Use the talk back feature on the free Bob and Sherry app and leave us a message.
Hey, why don't you show your appreciation for a teacher by nominating them to win a vacation from Visit Florida to the Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach. Nominate a teacher at BOBANDSHERI.com.
If you've ever looked at a list of what the most happiest countries are, Netherlands is always in the top. And I just read an article that says the reason is their concept of Nixon, N-I-K-S-E-N, Nixon. It is the Dutch art of doing nothing. Now, here's four tips. If you're doing nothing, own it. It belongs to you. When someone asks you what you're doing during your Nixon time, you simply respond, nothing. Be unapologetic about taking breaks or holidays. Think of Nixon not as a sign of laziness, but as an important life skill that might help you regain some composure, find some calmness, and prevent burnout.
Yeah,
number two.
That makes sense.
I feel like this isn't going to catch on here.
I love the idea of it. Number two, work and rest according to your natural rhythm. People have different chronotypes, which mean they need to sleep and work at different times of the day to achieve maximum productivity. Some of us are best in the mornings. Others are more productive in the afternoon. Every one of us should figure out when we're at our most creative, the most productive, and Nixon is part of this time, doing nothing. I love this doing nothing thing. I really do. Doing nothing
like
together. This lady said, I always thought of Nixon as something you do alone in your home by yourself. But those sweet nothing moments can become more special when they are shared. For many parents, the best thing in the world can be reading to their children or playing with them. To me, it's hugging. When I'm in a great mood, I'll ask, who wants a hug? When the kids are in bed, my husband and I often watch a TV series together. I'm usually snuggled up into my husband because he's soft and warm, and I often think that the series we're watching is secondary. I'm simply Nixoning up against him and enjoying myself. Mm. And number four, just be normal. In the Netherlands, people tend to steer clear of intense emotional outbursts or what they consider to be overly dramatic behavior. It's also generally not acceptable to complain or to brag about working all the time. This attitude stems from a famous Dutch saying, just be normal. There's already enough crazy. Okay? This means if you put in too many hours or too much effort into your job, you likely won't get any accolades. Instead, you might be on the receiving end of some eye rolls and sighs. While all are being told to just be normal, go home. Take some time for yourself. The rest of the people at work don't want to see you working too hard because it makes them look bad, evidently. This is what I got from this. They don't be trying to work too hard. That's not going to work in this country. It's just not. I wish it would, but it's not.
You know what? I agree with you. Nixon is not going to catch on in this country. I think Richard Nixon coming back first would catch on before this. But when I was working in the plastics factory in Attleboro, Massachusetts, making push pins, I'd sit there and I got paid by the pound. So I'm working with another guy, and if we worked really hard, we'd get a little bit more than minimum wage. You know, we might get another 50 cents an hour above minimum wage. And people in the factory would come over and see us producing a lot in one day, and they would say, hey, slow down. You're killing the job. By killing the job, it's like the company was going to reassess how much we could do and then make the extra money that much harder to get. So I think that's what those people are doing. Yeah.
Many, many, many years ago, when I told you, we talked about Taterhead and his famous saying, "What you eat don't make me fat." Where this came from, when I hired him about his third day on the job, I mean, man, he's pouring the coals to it. I mean, he's working, working, working. Well, I got this other guy that's been there for a few years, and he kept a very slow pace. And so he goes over to Taterhead, and he says, "Hey, hey, 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 you're new here. I'm going to need you to slow this down a little bit." He said, "Because if you're working this hard and this fast, you're making me look bad, and I don't want it to be that way." And Master Taterhead turned to him and said, "Hey, buddy, what you eat don't make me fat." And he just kept working.
There it is.
And that's where that comes from. So, you know, if you're the highest producer, sometimes people are not that happy about it.
Right, right, right.
But listen, listen. Let's all just do nothing. Just take some time and do nothing. This is why I
never thought I would. I never thought I would say I need me some Nixon. I need me some Nixon.
This is why Carl and I camp, because people say, "What do you do when you're camping?" And I go, "Nothing. Absolutely nothing." And it's great. It is great. This is Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
So there's a writer that I follow on social media. He's a sci-fi writer named Daniel Aronson. And he had a post. He's in Canada. And he had a post on Facebook. And it was a picture of a woman holding... At first I thought, what has happened to this child? And then I got a closer look. Let me read the caption. A mom whose son is growing too old for cuddles has come up with a unique solution. When her son stopped wanting to cuddle, she knitted a life-sized version of him. Now she can cuddle his yarn doppelganger as much as she likes. Now she wants to help other moms. She said, "We thought it would be a great idea for mothers with too much love for their children and need to cuddle, so they could knit their own cuddly son." Listen,
Creepy.
I get it. I do. But this is one step over even for me. And I think that, I think that when you see this, I'll send this to Doc and we'll get this posted up. When you see this, you're going to go, "Isn't it wonderful that that child is loved so, so, so much? But please never take that thing that you knitted out of the house again." Because the rest of us are going to, you know, have the nightmares. Like, she did a good job. Don't get me wrong. Knitting is hard. She did a good job. But I don't care how skillful a knitter you are. I think knitting a human face is a challenge. I'm just going to, you know what? I said what I said. Now, prove me wrong, knitters. But it's challenging.
I would like
to
have
knit
a full length one of me that I could leave with Mary when we're traveling. You know, right there on the couch next to me, or maybe even in the bed with my face smiling. I think she'd love that, don't you?
You're going to want to, you're going to want to get a look at this. And I think this woman is selling kits. So, there you go. Yeah. You could have a Mary. Mm-hmm. You could have a full size knitted Bob. We'll
what
call
a birthday
him Wooly
gift.
Bob. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a lucky woman you got there. It's Bob and Sherry. Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.